The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Another hour on a cloudy Saturday morning. Jimmy Sangenberger here with you, in for Randy Corcoran today. I will be out from my own show that runs here 5 to 8 p.m. on 710 KNUS. Christina Cook will be so kind as to fill in for me. I'm sure she's got a great show planned, so be sure to tune in for that. Again, 5 p.m. here on 710 KNUS. But it's great to be here filling in for Randy this morning with you. And it's always great to talk with a gentleman who has become a good friend. He is one of my absolute favorite guests to talk with on the radio. He's sort of the one-man political almanac. In fact, he literally wrote a political almanac. Michael Barone joins us. He is the senior political analyst at the Washington Examiner. Michael, good morning. Welcome back to 710 KNUS.
Hey, good morning. It's nice to be with you as the sun is creeping up on the eastern horizon, shedding some clouded rays, illuminating the Front Range. Is that what you're facing there? Or are you across the street from a closed video store?
Not quite either. It is quite cloudy. It's going to be rainy today, but we need more rain. So that's for sure out here on the west, as I'm sure you well know what's going on out this way with all the fires and everything. So
yeah, we don't want that.
No, absolutely not. Hey, I want to get your thoughts on something first before we kind of dissect more broadly. I spent the last hour and was talking with a couple of callers as well, talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the notion of democratic socialism and the millennial generation, sort of where they're at. And I did mention in there that I head up the Millennial Policy Center, which you are so kind to be a member of our advisory council of that group. And I just wonder, yeah, from your political background, from what you've seen in polling data and so forth, I mean, my contention is that it's overstated, this notion that there are so many people who are lockstep on the left among millennials and there's really no hope. I think there's really an opportunity here, despite the notion that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is emblematic of what's going on among millennials. What do you make of the younger generation's political leanings?
I make it that they're uninformed. They like free stuff. And they're not particularly concerned about issues of equity. I mean, the Democrats in this country have been big proponents of the idea that we've got to do things for the lower income people, and the government has to be, redistributing income from the rich to the poor, a sort of bureaucratic Robin Hood. Some of the things they're talking about really don't fall in that category. Free college. Look, college is just not going to work for people who are going to be a good deal, even if it's free, for people that either have low levels of cognitive ability, reading and math, who have predilections towards things like mechanical skills, who have, characteristics that stress things like conscientiousness. They're going to make a better living and live better lives and have better family situations. Not pursuing college and piling up 100, staying out of the labor force, even if it's free. That's become, one of the big things. Free college, we're going to get rid of all college debt. Well, that's nice. There's some people out there that are going to game that system, aren't there? They're going to come away with millions of taxpayer dollars. It's pretty naive. I mean, I guess the tendency of what we might call the Brooklyn left is to see all of this. Ocasio-Cortez has a residence, at least in the Bronx. She apparently grew up a lot in Westchester County. This is the 100th anniversary of Lenin's takeover of the Soviet Union. We start some months before the calendar year, and that she's the new Lenin. Well, you know, even though people may write scripts for movies giving a romantic view of Lenin, we had that from Warren Beatty 30-some years ago. The fact is, it was a murderous dictatorship. It was oppression at a mass level. It resulted in the death of 40 million people. This isn't what we should want. This isn't what young people should want. And I guess it says to me that each generation or every other generation has to learn some lessons over again that we had thought that society had already absorbed and knew. And one of the lessons is that socialism don't work good. And another lesson is that it can be a gateway drug for dictatorship, oppression, suppression of free speech, which, of course, is very much the fashion on the campuses now, and so forth. And we shouldn't want that. So that's my message.
You know, it's always just it's fascinating, not surprising, but fascinating to see the folks on the harder left that are more supportive of a socialistic type of system, like Ocasio-Cortez or Bernie Sanders, how they always point to, you know, Sweden and Denmark and what's going on in the Scandinavian countries, parts of Europe. But they ignore the catastrophes going on in Venezuela. I mean, 46,000% inflation. Now Maduro there is saying, well, we're going to knock three zeros off the currency and that's going to solve the problem. Oh, well, good luck with that. But the right does the exact opposite. We point to Venezuela and ignore those European countries. Who's right, or is there somewhere some room for both, or what do you think?
Well, I think that each point of view illustrates the fallacy that economics is the engine of politics, that political expression, political beliefs, regimes, design is all a matter of your views on economics. You might say this is sort of vulgar Marxism. And the fact is that in many ways, culture matters a lot more than economics. You know, socialism in the Scandinavia, which, by the way, has a vibrant free market economy in many ways. It works with Scandinavians. It might work for Minnesota, that has a lot of descendants of Scandinavians, who, by the way, in Minnesota are making a lot more money than their counterparts do in Scandinavia. It's not going to work for our multi-ethnic, always multicultural, not just multicultural recently, but always multicultural nation of 320-some million people. You bring a system like that to Russia, and what do you get? You get no freedoms, systematic suppression of freedoms. You get power concentrated in the center in one person. You get Stalin becomes the latest Peter the Great, because if you read the volumes of the late Richard Pipes' history of Russia, there are certain characteristics historically about Russia that have had a long-lasting impact. So I think that both sides, perhaps, the left obviously more than the right, make mistakes by ignoring the culture in which these societies exist. China can do things that China can do, and Thomas Friedman, the New York Times columnist, would like the United States to do. But that's in large part because it's China, and we're not China.
You know, it just is certainly a striking thing to consider, the arguments used in favor of one position or another when it comes to different societies' exemplifications of socialism and divorcing the cultural context is one important aspect. I think the other important aspect is divorcing the notion of the size of the population in those countries, too. I think there's a big difference between, you know, Denmark being able to implement a socialist type of system and a federal government mandated socialist system here in the United States.
Denmark has 5 million people. Minnesota has 6 million.
Yeah, so there you go. It can work in Minnesota in that sense. So let me ask you, kind of broadening this conversation here to what we're seeing going on in the United States vis-a-vis the kind of ideological and political direction of the country as we gear up for the November elections, just really a few months down the line before we know it'll be here. What's your assessment of where things are at among the populace vis-a-vis kind of ideology, views towards the parties, and view towards President Trump?
Well, it's, you know, we have become, even before Donald Trump was just a reality TV host, that a country that was sharply divided along lines, basically, that were cultural rather than economic. You know, the rich people and various precincts in Manhattan voting heavily Democratic, and the very low-income people in the mountains of eastern Kentucky voting heavily Republican. Some of those allegiances go back to the Civil War, when you get back in the hollers in Kentucky, West Virginia. Some of them go back more to recent history. But they're cultural, primarily cultural proclivities, and, you know, the demographic variable most highly correlated with voting behavior in recent cycles has been religion or degree of religiosity. Those things changed, but just a little bit, in the 2016 election. They changed in the sense that you had some white, blue-collar people who had been voting Democratic, primarily in the Midwest, switch and vote for Donald Trump for president. They switched because you had some high-income, college-educated whites, primarily in the South, switch from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party and vote for Hillary Clinton. That process already took place back in the 1990s, the early 2000s, in most of the country. It took place perhaps on a delayed basis in big metro areas like Houston, Dallas, Atlanta, perhaps Phoenix, in this last election. And so consequently, those changes have been overstated. And you have leaders, Donald Trump, obviously highly irritating to those who are not his fans, evoking huge loyalties from some of the people that are. And you had a flawed Democratic nominee in the person of Hillary Clinton. I said during the campaign that it was a choice between a crackpot and a criminal, and I wasn't being particularly hyperbolic there. You know, we still see Donald Trump operating policy on the basis of when people buy goods from you, you have a trade deficit, and that somehow this is terribly harmful, or whatever. He's got a wacko theory on that. You have Hillary Clinton relitigating the issue and never admitting that she violated, you know, basic federal criminal laws, and that she was the author of her own defeat. So the personality and character of these two party leaders has exacerbated the degree of polarization.
You know, I saw a poll that indicated that President Trump's approval rating among Republicans at this point in his presidency is second only to George W. Bush at this point in his presidency, having, you know, followed September 11th. And it's striking because the media is trying to, the liberal media in particular, is trying to, I think, undermine President Trump through all the stories about Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen and Russian collusion and this and that, in a way that really is conducive not to making inroads for the Democrats, but rather causing many Republicans to rally more strongly behind the president and actually potentially get them more engaged in November, whereas it should be more of a better year for the Democrats. What do you make of that phenomenon?
Well, I think you've analyzed it pretty clearly. I mean, the press, you know, one of President Trump's more or less fans and the conservative media drew up a list of 40 stories that have been carried and trumpeted and featured by very large parts of the press as being simply baloney, in error, wrong, not based on fact, and so forth. That's proof to, you know, each one of those provides fodder to fans of Donald Trump or people who tend to be Republican, saying the press is out to throw this man out of office. And I think that's a fair analysis. I think most of the press is determined to try to throw this man out of office. The latest bit about Stormy Daniels is supposedly going to get him out of office, since we never figured that he was doing immoral things in parts of his life. That's delusional. It's the press is playing bad. And they go around saying, well, Donald Trump lies. He gets things wrong. Well, he certainly is inaccurate a lot. A lot of the so-called lies they point to are simply getting statistics wrong that don't really matter a whole lot one way or the other. This is the biggest audience on Thursday or the biggest audience on a Wednesday. Who really cares? You've got Trump giving sort of childish boasts in some cases about how he had a bigger inaugural crowd than Obama. That's just sort of childish in his case, persisting in inaccuracies. None of this is edifying in any particular way. I think that, the press seems to think that if people believe that Trump had an affair with a porn star 12 years ago, they're suddenly going to say, oh, no, I can't support Trump anymore. He did something immoral. I mean, that's baked into the cake. People assume that he's broken marriage vows. He's admitted as much many times than his, or at least his ghostwriters have in his books as well. So I think a lot of this stuff is storm and drawn. We've had this collusion with Russia with not an iota of evidence for 2 years, and you still run into Democrats, you get them in conversation, and they think he's going to be leaving the White House next week. I think that's delusional and self-defeating, but there it is.
I say keep thinking that way, because that will encourage them not to work as hard as they otherwise might. Kind of wrapping up here with you, Michael Barona, our guest from the Washington Examiner. We are closing in. Before we know it, we will be in November. Where do you see things looking right now in regards to the House and Senate and also governorships?
Well, I think the Republicans have a chance to increase their thin majority in the Senate because of the lineup of seats. Senate results can happen with, by small margins can make a big difference in the composition of the Senate. But I think it favors the Republicans. We've now got handicappers like Larry Sabato of the University of Virginia saying it's likely that Democrats are going to win a majority in the House. I think that's probably a plausible thing, but it was also likely based on Nate Silver and 538's poll, analysis of the 2016 polls, that Donald Trump would be defeated and Hillary Clinton would be elected president. They thought there was about a 70% chance of Hillary and only 30 of Hillary. And, the one thing about 30% chances is that they do tend to come true 30% of the time, 3 out of 10. It's not like they never happen. And in this case, Trump won. So I think the Democrats are sitting there with some advantages to win the majority in the House. And part of that is because the Republicans have not been a reassuring type of majority, but with all their internal feuds. But I think that's not a certain result.
Michael Barona is senior political analyst at the Washington Examiner. Michael, it is always great to check in with you, sir. Thanks for joining us and sharing your insights this morning.
Okay, no, good to be with you again.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here on Wake Up with Randy Corporan. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Randy this morning. When we come back, we're going to talk with political strategist and author, writer, Austin Yack, about this notion in California, which Colorado keeps wanting to trend in that California direction. Free tuition for 500 first-year students in their so-called First-Year Promise Plus program. What's going on there, especially in light of this whole notion we've been talking about, a running theme this morning, of more Democratic socialist leanings among some young people. What are we to make of this move in California in that context? Plus, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete will join us in the next hour. We'll also take your calls at 303-696-1971. Once again, Jimmy Sangenberger in for Randy Corporan here on News Talk 710 KNUS.
CEOs face unique challenges in today's rapidly changing, hyper-competitive, and technological era. Colorado Business Roundtable and Denver Business Journal are bringing together three of our nation's top CEOs to talk about leading Fortune companies. Join us on Monday, August 20th, as we bring you our second annual View from the Top. Register today and take advantage of early bird discounts at cobrt.com. CEOs from Western Union, Red Robin, and Jacobs Engineering will dive into some of the challenges their industries are facing, workforce concerns, regulation, and policy impacts. This is an incredible opportunity to hear from Hikmet Ersek, Denny Marie Post, and Stephen Demetriou. Come gain valuable insights and learn from some amazing leaders. We are excited to have you join us for our CEO panel with Denver Business Journal and Colorado Business Roundtable. Remember to register today at cobrt.com.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Ridgegate Financial. Are you ready to retire? Do you have a plan for when the paychecks stop? My friend Wally Smith at Ridgegate Financial can help. Income planning is one of the five keys to a successful retirement. You've worked hard and you've saved, but now you need a very specific plan for when you access your Social Security and use each of your retirement assets. For your free Social Security analysis and personal retirement review, call Wally Smith at 303-PLANNER. That's 303-752-6637. 303-752-6637. Ridgegate Financial creates retirement plans to help make your retirement everything you've dreamed of, not just 20 to 30 years of unemployment. Your personal retirement plan will help you sail through stock market corrections, crashes even, with confidence. You need a plan for when the paychecks stop. For your free Social Security and personal retirement review, call Wally Smith at 303-PLANNER. That's 303-752-6637. Or visit RidgegateFinancial.com.
You know, I'm not a genius about money. I love my credit cards, and they love me. I was using them as a source of income, and then I got behind in my payments, and creditors were calling. I figured I had a problem, and I didn't know how to deal with it. I heard about Trinity, so I called and talked to a counselor. In half an hour, we worked out a plan. Now I've got one easy monthly payment, a lower interest rate, and I'm getting out of debt.
If you're in an endless cycle of paying on credit card balances that never seem to go away, then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity will consolidate your accounts, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. Call 1-800-990-6976.
Summer is here, and in case you haven't noticed, your carpets and upholstery are stained, soiled, and may even smell bad. Mike Bagnell here, and it doesn't have to be that way. It's time to call Bagnell Services. We specialize in the highest quality cleaning and care of carpets, upholstery, tile, and loose rugs. You have stains? Our trustworthy and experienced technicians are known for their ability to get stains out of your fabrics, and we don't charge extra for that or furniture moving. We never leave cleaning residues in your carpets or fabrics, so your cleaning lasts much longer and it's safe for your pets and family. Call us at 303-797-6400 to schedule a free estimate or set up a cleaning. Or find us at bagnallservices.com. That's B-A-G-N-A-L-L services.com. Mention KNUS and we will give you 20% off your cleaning.
Call Bagnell Services today, 303-797-6400. That's 303-797-6400. Or visit bagnallservices.com, B-A-G-N-A-L-L services.com.
In the summer, it's hot in the upstairs bedrooms most of the day. Our office is up there and it's sweltering. We've used one of those big fans in the evening, but it pulls in too much dust and pollen. The AC ran constantly, yet the only cool place in the house is the basement. My husband started insisting we buy a new air conditioner. And that's when I called the people at AirSwap. AirSwap showed me my furnace and air conditioner are the right size for my house, and my air conditioner was working just fine. They adjusted our ductwork, created stronger airflow to distribute all that cool air in the basement. And this even helped us save electricity. The house is more comfortable in the winter as well. They reduced the big temperature difference between the floors, and now the upstairs is comfortable during the day and early evening. Call them at 303-761-0729, on the web at air-swap.com, 303-761-0729, or air-swap.com.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710, KNUS.
25 minutes after 7 o'clock, Jimmy Sangenberger here with you in for Randy Corcoran. This morning, of course, I host the Jimmy Sangenberger Show Saturday nights from 5 to 8. I will not be there tonight. Christina Cook filling in for me. But I'm here and glad to be here with you this morning. It is going to be 81, cloudy, rainy today. We do need the rain, but it is kind of a little bit of a depressing day looking out there here so far this morning. So we spent a good amount of time this morning talking about the phenomenon among the millennial generation and some of the talk about democratic socialism, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, so on and so forth, and different programs and policies and ideas for, sort of put simply, free stuff. And one of the big pushes among these folks on the left is the notion of free college tuition and forgiveness of student loans. Well, there's actually a program that is just being launched at a California community college to offer free tuition and fees to 500 first-year students who apply to its first-year Promise Plus program. What does this mean? Is this a good approach to things, especially since it's at a community college and incentivizing people to make smarter, even smarter financial decisions in a sense to go to community college? Or is this an example of giving free tuition to folks when you should really be having them take responsibility for their education? Also, what's going on in California with the attack of the killer straws? We're joined by Austin Yak. He is a writer and columnist and the CEO and founder of Ascendant Strategies and joins us here on the program. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining us. So fill us in on this program going on at the College of the Canyons in California.
Yeah, so it's College of the Canyons in Santa Clarita, California, and they started last year a program that was funded by the Chancellor's Association with the community colleges out there, and what they tried to do was raise enough money in order to give free tuition to up to 300 students, and that was the first move. Now, the second move is this year, and what they did was under Governor Jerry Brown and under the Obama administration, they really pushed free college tuition at the community college level across the entire country. So one thing that Jerry Brown did was last year, and actually for years before that, they had it was a program that gave free tuition for people who were in need. Now they've taken that program, which was called the Governor's Fee Waiver, and they turned it into the California College Promise Program. So that College Promise Program, instead of just helping anybody who's in need, they're really pushing for free tuition for all. So it's the first movement, really, starting out of the College of the Canyons, and it's moving across the entire state, and I presume that it's going to be, hopefully, in their eyes, across the entire country. So this one, they actually, College of the Canyons got $900,000, just shy of it, to give up to 500 students free college tuition. That includes not just tuition, actually. It includes books. It includes even if they need tutors, whatever they need, they will get as long as they maintain a certain GPA and they can stay in the program. That also includes people who are undocumented immigrants, as long as they fall under the California Dream Act. And pretty much as long as they it's a first-come, first-served basis. It's not a merit-based program. It is if you apply and you're the first 500, and it's within that $900,000 range for that college, and they get pretty much free everything.
So what is your kind of analysis of this aspect of it all? Because there's obviously a lot of folks, myself included, who say the notion of giving free college to people, especially on a wide scale, is problematic and also out of step with the role of government, whether it's the state or the federal level. But this seems to be at least the notion of, for this particular example, a specific community college, a little bit more of a smaller instance of it. Is there a difference?
No, I completely agree with you. And I actually think that this may be anecdotal, but like you said, it's the heart of progressivism. It's the bigger issue. And what people don't realize is that when people are, or when states like California, when they enact these different policies, whether it is a straw ban that we'll be talking about soon or giving free college tuition, you have to have money to pay for it. And when you have to have money to pay for it, well, where is that going to come from? Taxes. And what are people doing? They're leaving California. If you look at statistics, people are leaving quicker than ever. I mean, between July 2016 and July 2017, there was 138,000 net loss of people in California. When if you look at, for example, Texas, Arizona, Nevada, I mean, they increased by Texas with 79,000 people, 63,000 people for Arizona, Nevada with 38,000 people. So what I think that people don't realize is that, sure, it may be a good thing to, you know, in theory, to give free college tuition to people at the community college level, but in the grand scheme of things, it's only going to really hurt the economy. It's going to drive people out of the state. And in reality, like you said, people need to work for it. It's not just a free-for-all. It's not a give-me-everything. We're built on a society that you have to earn it.
What do you think, though? I mean, obviously, this argument about expense, how do you pay for it, is an important one that we need to have in our discussion. But you're a millennial yourself. We're both in our 20s. When it comes to the young people who are gravitating towards this notion of free college, how do you persuade them that free college is not the appropriate way to go? Because if you say, well, we just can't pay for it, that doesn't really, I think, impact a whole swath of them in their idea, their thinking.
No, so as far as to answer your question, I would say that, again, in theory, it may be a good idea when you look at what's harming the economy. As far as, okay, you may have less student debt when you leave college, but if you can't get a job because there's so many people who are going to college who should not be going to college. So community college is not necessarily for everybody, but when the government is stepping in and giving you free, it encourages you, instead of going to, for example, to trade school or to go and just enter the you know, get a job, it's forcing people in a lot of ways to take further action and continue their academic career instead of entering the job market. And I would say there's a lot of people who are accepting these free in education when they really shouldn't be there. And because of that, it's completely saturating the market with people who have these fancy degrees all the way from, you know, lower level like an AA all the way up to master's and PhDs. And they can't get jobs. So I would say that, sure, it may help somebody on the lower level in order to get more education, but in the grand scheme of things, it's extremely hurting the economy, and it's hurting the future of our generations.
Yeah, I think those are some solid points there, Austin Yak, in terms of kind of the direction here. You know, what it shows and how to address the issue in terms of trying to change minds away from free college. But it just seems so easy. I mean, it's just easy to gravitate towards, hey, the government's got money. Mm-hmm. Why not have the government spend that money on people and help them through free college and those sorts of things? I mentioned earlier, FDR looked back at his so-called Program of Progress, the New Deal. And he said, and I'm just kind of summarizing here, he was saying that government has the definite duty and the resources to meet new social problems. These were his exact words, to meet new social problems with new social controls. And of course, other programs that can help to allocate money. That's the mentality here. Government's got the money, mm-hmm. supposedly. Let's go ahead and do it. And that's a difficult thing to address at times for people who are just looking for the easy solution.
Well, that, and just to add to that too, people don't realize that, again, the money has to come somewhere. So when you look at California as a perfect example, I mean, look at the gas tax. I mean, they raised it 41.7 cents per gallon. The middle class is getting killed by this. So the reality is that, sure, when they say free college tuition, it's not actually free. The money's coming from somewhere, and it's coming from the taxpayers. So whether they want to pay for this for through taxes or they want to pay for it because they are earning it, I mean, the end result is that there is nothing free in this world.
This is kind of a divergence for a moment, but I can't not take advantage of this opportunity to play a clip of the poster child for democratic socialism right now, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, talking about the idea of paying for socialism. It's a longer clip, but bear with me for a moment.
This is an excellent question. And in fact, there's a lot of back of the envelope stuff based on our values. So, for example, I sat down with a Nobel Prize economist last week. I can't believe I can say that. It's really weird. But one of the things that we saw is if people pay their fair share, if corporations and the ultra wealthy, for example, as Warren Buffett likes to say, if he paid as much as his secretary paid, 15%, if he paid a 15% tax rate, if corporations paid, if we reversed the tax bill, but went raised our corporate tax rate to 28%, which is not even as high as it was before.
Right.
If we do those two things and also close some of those loopholes, that's $2 trillion right there. That's $2 trillion in 10 years. And it's one of the wide estimates is that it's going to take $3 to $4 trillion to transition us to 100% renewable energy economy. So we got $2 trillion from folks paying their fair share, which they were not paying before the Trump tax bill.
Right.
They weren't paying that before the Trump tax bill. If we get people to pay their fair share, that's $2 trillion in 10 years. Now, if we implement a carbon tax on top of that, so that we can transition and financially incentivize people away from fossil fuels. If we implement a carbon tax, that's an additional amount of a large amount of revenue that we can have. And then the last key, which is extremely, extremely important, is reprioritization. Just last year, we gave the military a $700 billion budget increase, which they didn't even ask for. They're like, we don't want another fighter jet. Like, they're like, don't give us another nuclear bomb.
You know? Right.
They didn't even ask for it, and we gave it to them. And so a lot of what we need to do is reprioritize what we want to accomplish as a nation. And really what this is about is saying healthcare is important enough for us to put first. Education is important enough for us to put first. And that is a decision that requires political and moral courage from both parts of the aisle.
I think there's really only one response to something like that.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points. And may God have mercy on your soul.
First of all, it wasn't a $700 billion increase. It was about a little over $700 billion for the budget for defense. But, okay, thanks for bearing with me on that. I needed to get that in based on this conversation, Austin Yak. But what's your reaction to what she had to say there?
My reaction to that is that I hope that she keeps saying those things, because if she does, there will be a huge red wave in 2018 and 2020, because she's going to force the Democratic Party to move all the way left. And the reality is that the American people as a whole do not support those policies.
And you know what? Something else Americans don't seem to want to support, but California does.
What's
stopping
that?
The attack of the killer straws. I mean, my goodness, I'm just so concerned about these plastic straws and the doom that they're bringing. And California's got some solutions, don't they?
They do. And I actually went to UC Santa Barbara, so I have a little bit of personal experience out there. And Santa Barbara, the city, actually passed an ordinance about 2 weeks ago, and they said that anybody who is in the restaurant business, whether it's just the food business in general, all the way to fast food restaurants, if they give out plastic straws, they will be either fined up to $1,000, or they will get 6 months jail time. Now, the funny thing is that, first of all, they're following Seattle's straw ban, and Seattle's straw ban was a $250 fine. So now what Santa Barbara has done is they've taken it to first offense, is a written warning notice, and the second offense is all the way to the extreme of 6 months jail time. One thing that I find interesting about this, though, is that not only what they've done, but yesterday, and a lot of the news actually has not reported on this quite yet, yesterday the city of Santa Barbara backpedaled quite a bit. They're not saying that they're going to pull back the ordinance, but what they're saying is that they do not intend to fine anybody to that extreme or at the very maximum put them in jail. According to Nina Johnson, the senior assistant to the city administrator of Santa Barbara, she says, Santa Barbara has not adopted a law banning plastic straws, and she goes to deny it. And then she says, there is no intention to strictly enforce the ordinance. The city's plan is to work cooperatively with restaurants to ensure straws are available by request. So what I find so funny about this is that they adopted just a general ordinance, and I don't think that they necessarily knew what they got themselves into. So either one, they wanted the extreme, and they put forth this ordinance in order to be way more extreme than someone, a city like Seattle, who was doing a $250 fine, that they wanted to go to extreme measures to really knock out all of these straws. But the other argument could be that they may not have even realized the repercussions of this, and that they implemented a policy that they don't even want to enforce. So my response to that is, why, if that's just big government, that just continues even at the local level, why would you implement an ordinance that you do not intend to enforce? That's just adding more laws to the books for absolutely no reason. So that's what I find so ironic about this. And, I mean, the reality is, too, that, sure, helping the environment may be a good thing, again, in theory. I completely support if a company, for example, wants to ban plastic straws. It's their company, it's the private market, they can do what they want. My issue here is that the government is actually going as far as to put somebody in jail, potentially, by giving out a plastic straw. That, to me, is so crazy. And the biggest thing is that straws represent 0.02% of the amount of plastic waste that is estimated to go into the ocean each year. The U.S. is responsible for 1% of the overall amount of plastic in the ocean. So how much do you think those plastic straws in the city of Santa Barbara, in Santa Barbara, California, is really doing to do this? And they're actually taking such extreme measures for such a little impact on the environment, and they're willing to put their own citizens in jail, if not give huge penalties of $1,000. And it's not per time that
right.
they do it, it's per straw.
Oh my
so
God.
If you are a employee giving out five straws, that's five times that you are getting dinged, up to $5,000.
Oh my goodness. I mean, seriously, this is maddening. Oh, I'm not going to enforce it. Well, what about the day they wake up and say, oh, you know, let's enforce that ordinance that's on the books? Austin Yak, I got to run, but thank you so much for breaking that down for us and taking the time to join here on the program.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. We'll be in touch. Again, Austin Yak is CEO of Ascendant Strategies here on News Talk 710 KNUS. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger, filling in this morning for Randy Corcoran.
CBS News updates. One of seven major wildfires burning in California right now is raging north of Sacramento.
There was fire everywhere on both sides of the roads. There's houses coming down, houses that were already down. To me, it kind of looked like an apocalyptic horror film.
CBS's Carter Evans is in Redding.
You can see home after home after home just burned to the ground. And what began as a small wildfire has now erupted into a living hellscape. The fire now covers at least 48,000 acres. Two Redding children and their grandmother are missing, and so far two people have died in the fire, a Redding firefighter and a bulldozer operator.
KPIX TV reporter Katie Nielsen says that hot, dry winds are making firefighting efforts difficult. Evacuation orders have gone out.
This fire could push into the town of Redding at any point, and it would just be too dangerous if they let people stay in their homes and then tried to get out at the last minute.
CBS News Update, I'm Gary Nunn.
Pat Boone here again, and I assure you, I have never before endorsed a pain relief product. Not until now. Not until Relief Factor came along as a 100% drug-free solution for people struggling with ordinary pain. Quite simply, Relief Factor was designed by doctors to help relieve those occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, and everyday living. Let me ask you, are aches and pains keeping you from sleeping through the night? or keeping you from taking those nice long walks or playing golf or tennis. You can't really call it living if you can't get around comfortably. The 3-week quick start from Relief Factor may be all you need to lower or even eliminate these pains. A whole lot of people have already gone to ReliefFactor.com, and here's something you need to know. The majority of people who order the 3-week quick start, now only $19.95, go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain, too. Go to ReliefFactor.com.
Recent hailstorms have diminished undamaged new car and truck inventories throughout the Front Range, but not at MedVed. MedVed's inventories are untouched by hail. No damage. That means no Carfax report, no paintless dent repair, no problems in the future. But what about the savings? During the MedVed No Hail Sale, get a Ford, Chevy, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Kia, or Cadillac and save thousands. Get discounts up to $17,000 off MSRP. Financing as low as 0% for 72 months or no payments for 90 days on select vehicles. Only at MedVed during the No Hail Sale on the I-25 corridor to park the 181 ramp Castle Rock and on I-70 in Wheat Ridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVed Autoplex. Online at MedVed.com.
Select vehicles only. Stock number CV4318, MSRP 65,030. Stock number F5956, MSRP 47,315 plus tax, title, and fees. Includes 599DH. Must finance through GM Financial with approved credit. Subject to prior sale. Expires 7/31/18.
Make the Fresh Fish Company the biggest part of your next celebration with their fresh seafood party platters.
How about blowing your friends and family out of the water?
With the delectable Rock Lobster Tail Platter. Or picture 60 succulent snow crab legs scored and shelled on a beautiful platter right next to mounds of king crab legs that'll walk your party to Flavor Town by the sea. Now we're talking celebration. You can also get their mouth-watering clam chowder, seafood gumbo, and lobster bisque by the pint, by the quart, or even by the gallon.
Make sure to ask for some extra oyster crackers if you get the gallon.
You're going to need them. The Fresh Fish Company will freshly prepare your made-to-order seafood platters for any size celebration. Just go to thefreshfishco.com to start putting together your ocean of choices. And don't forget, your guests who have a sweet tooth, the Fresh Fish Company will help you finish your celebration right with waves of desserts, including their individual wrapped carrot cake, cheesecake, and brownie platters.
I just want to celebrate, yeah, yeah.
Go to thefreshfishco.com to catch all of their party platters and make your next celebration a tidal wave of flavor. Summer is the time for weddings, baby showers, and a lot of birthday celebrations. You'll be the hit of that party with some of the most delicious cupcakes from one of Denver's best-known bakeries, Kane's Creative Cakes. Denver Half Price is bringing you an amazing cupcake special exclusively for our listeners. Half Price Cupcakes. Head on over to DenverHalfPrice.com to get this limited cupcake offer. For Half Price Cupcakes, Kane's Creative Cakes. Cupcakes Special. Details at DenverHalfPrice.com. Cupcakes for Half Price.
Is the condition of your mouth causing you to live a life of quiet desperation? Are you unable to smile without embarrassment or unable to eat the foods you love? Dr. Barrett's with Barrett's Dental here, and I have been helping people just like you for over 38 years. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our newest doctor, Dr. Nguyen.
If your mouth is causing you to suffer physically and emotionally, we know how you feel. We've seen many patients who felt exactly the same way. What they found and what you will find at Barrett's Dental is a safe and judgment-free environment where you will be taken care of with tender, loving care.
We deliver total dental solutions, and all in one convenient location. No longer is it necessary to be referred all over town from doctor to doctor to doctor to get your treatment. If you like Barrett's Dental, it's the last place you'll need to go for your dentistry.
Call us. We'll take great care of you.
Call Barrett's Dental at 303-502-5527 or visit denverdentist.com.
Go to 710KNUS.com to download our free mobile app and listen to 710KNUS on your phone anytime, anywhere. Message and data rates apply.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Good day, sunshine.
About 11 minutes until the top of the hour. Jimmy Sangenberger here with you, News Talk 710 KNUS, filling in for Randy Corcoran this morning. Of course, I host the Jimmy Sangenberger Show 5 to 8 Saturday nights here on 710 KNUS. You can be sure to tune in tonight. I will not be doing the show, but Christina Cook will be filling in for me. I also host Business for Breakfast morning show on our sister station, KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM, from 6 to 9 every weekday morning. We talk about the issues that matter most to your bottom line, your job, your wallet, your investments, and more, and some politics. For example, I will be interviewing Judge Jeanine Pirro this Monday morning, so be sure to tune in for that and so much more on 1690 KDMT, our sister station, 6 to 9 weekday mornings. So I want to play another clip here of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah talking about the nature of democratic socialism.
The term democratic socialist mm-hmm. has never felt like it has more weight to it than mm-hmm. now. We hear your name on the news every single day. Mm-hmm. When you use that term, what do you want people to understand by it?
Well, I think what I want people to understand is that we live in a society that is capable. We are capable of ensuring that we have basic frameworks where people can be covered by health insurance, can send their kids to college, where we can pursue a very bold action on climate change and save our future, and that it is part of a moral and ethical economy, and that we can legislate from that value, and where it is possible, I believe we are morally obliged to pursue it.
A moral and ethical economy. That's what democratic socialism is. Now, and let's just talk about that for one. The notion of moral. If you go into somebody's home and you take money from them and then you go and give it to somebody else who is in need, is that moral? Is that right? Is that ethical? Okay, probably not. You're using force, coercion, making somebody give you your property. But when it comes to Uncle Sam or a benevolent government, that's moral because it's democratic. You're voting on it, and that's moral and ethical. And the government is the means with which to have a moral and ethical economy. I think there's a lot more in those terms that we need to be addressing as a society than just, oh, having the government do it. That's all that matters. And then it's moral and it's ethical. Keep in mind, first of all, the government is we the people, indeed. But the government is not endless in its funds. Everything that the government has as far as money is really taxpayer money. Even when it goes into debt, it's taxpayer money in effect. Because you need taxpayer money in order to pay down that debt. So the notion here of just having government solve it is certainly problematic in a great many ways. But the thing is here that we have a battle going on in this country, a sort of a war of ideas. And if we're going to be effective and win in the battle of ideas, we have to be proactive in it. And we have to make the right cases. We have to make the strongest points that we can to the American people to say, this is not the way to go. Earlier in the first hour, I was talking about the nature of the millennial generation and the fact that there are really inroads that conservatives can make into the millennial generation, that they're not a generation to just write off as a bunch of Ocasio-Cortezes. I'm living proof that that's not the case. You need to fight the good fight and persevere in it, but also recognize, we talked about paying for socialism before, that's not the only argument that you can use. How do you pay for it? You need to turn back to get the argument back to moral, what's ethical, so on and so forth, what's appropriate, what's just, and also what will work and what's best for the average person's life and opportunity. I'm going to take a break here. Jimmy Sangenberger filling in for Randy Corporan. Ruben Navarrete, syndicated columnist, joins us next as we talk about a variety of topics here on News Talk 710 KNUS.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.